On Tuesday night, I sat among a group of about 20 people who all lived within a couple blocks of where Justine Damond was shot and killed by police last Saturday night. This was a group of mostly white neighbors who wanted to come together to grieve Justine and also connect the dots to all the other police killings in our city. Philando, Jamar, Marcus, Tysel, Terrence, the list goes on. Sarah Kunin, who lives around the corner from the Damon family, invited me to support her, and also because I live about 5 blocks from her. We tried to listen to each other and to the activists from places like the NAACP who'd been invited into that living room because they have worked on these issues of systemic racism and police brutality for a long time. Time felt funny in that cozy living room conversation. Grief around death tends to slow my sense of time. The now becomes longer in a way. And yet I felt the crush of that 24/7 news cycle around us in that room. And I mean literally around us as trucks from TV stations from around the world had been lining that block for days. Writer and activist Adrienne Marie Brown puts language to that squeeze of time I felt. She says, "There is such urgency in the multitude of crises we face. It can make it hard to remember that in fact it is urgency thinking, urgent, constant, unsustainable growth that got us to this point. And that our potential success lies in doing deep, slow, intentional work." It wasn't until the urgency of getting it right as a majority white room of people trying to talk about racial justice seeded that we began to slow into deeper relationship, into the harder and necessary work we were seeking for our city in that neighborhood living room. About 2 hours into the evening, a 71-year-old white woman who had lived in the neighborhood for decades told her story. She spoke of being the granddaughter of the first female police officer in our city. She spoke of being a defender of the police. She spoke of her commitment to racial justice. She told her own story of grief after what happened on her block when Justine was shot. She said that for the first time in her life, she was afraid to call the police that Saturday night. And then Jason Soule spoke. Jason is a black man in his late 30s who teaches about the criminal justice system at Hamline University. He volunteers with the NAACP also. He looked up after a pause and said, "Wow. So that happened 3 days ago for you? You started being afraid to call the police 3 days ago?" And the woman said, "Yes." Jason shook his head, breathed deep, and spoke again. "I have never called the police in my life. It has never been safe for me, never been safe for me to call the police." And the room fell into a holy hush. out of that slowed down time, out of that holy hush, eventually the room decided we needed to hold a public event to connect the dots between Justine's death and all the other deaths at the hand of police. There needed to be people from our neighborhood who would tell their stories and help their neighborhood feel the bigger moment and the bigger movement. And into the long, long pause after the question of who would speak, our own beloved Sarah Kunin bravely offered herself. My friends, we are not rocks or boulders, unshakably steady in our presence for justice and healing and love in the world. We instead, because we are not God, in order to become that kind of presence, we instead have to become like oak trees. Instead of digging its roots deep and solitary into the earth, the oak tree grows its roots wide and interlocks with other oak trees in the surrounding area. And you can't bring down 100 oak trees beneath the soil. When Sarah offered to speak, she dug her roots wide. Her roots began to reach out for Jason's roots. And when she spoke to a crowd of hundreds gathered in southwest Minneapolis to march for healing and justice, her roots extended down and outwards towards the hundreds of other oak tree people gathered together from across the Twin Cities, across divisions of race, generation, geography of our cities, class, and so much more. And by the end of her talking, there was a new underground root system coming together that hadn't been there before, in this community at least. Listen now. Put your feet on the floor so you can deepen your roots. Listen and reach wide, my friends, as Sarah Kunin shares her story. We must connect in the underground, my people. In this way, we shall survive. Please offer a warm welcome to Sarah as she bravely shares her story with you all, which can strangely be a little bit more intimidating than hundreds of people.
Justine, I stated that I wanted to first give my condolences to Don, the Damon family, and all of Justine's family and friends in Australia. I want to thank all of you who came to our neighborhood last Sunday night at the vigil in solidarity from North Minneapolis and from across Minnesota, who have also experienced police violence. I stand before you heartbroken. For 28 years, I have lived and raised my family one block away from where Justine was killed. On my block are some of my closest friends with whom we have a tradition when somebody loses a loved one. The neighbors are there for you not only with cards and meals and hugs, but a memorial offering and continued ongoing support. I'm here today because this tragedy is close to home for me in a way I have never had to experience before with the police shooting in our city. I have to be honest here and explain my privilege. I have felt completely safe in my neighborhood as a white woman, a mother, a wife, and a citizen of this city. I walk everywhere, and it's in those walks I met Justine. But I stand before you now to tell you that today I feel scared. I don't feel safe in my neighborhood. My illusion of comfort living in a middle to upper middle class, predominantly white neighborhood has been shattered. Who do I call now when I need help? The police? No. If my garage were broken into, do I call the police? No. If my neighbor is hurt, do I call the police? No. If I get in an accident, do I call the police? I just don't know anymore. We have a major problem with police violence in our city and our country. This is not about one police officer. This is about a broken system of policing that needs systematic change. As a white woman, I have never had to worry about my own safety when calling the police. But I know that is a luxury that people of color in our city don't have. Valerie Castile, Philando Castile's mother, didn't get to call the police without worrying about her own safety of her son. People of color have been killed by the police for far too long. It is time. It is past time for me and other white people to wake up to the reality, because it is all our realities now. These are all our mothers, all our children, our sons, and our daughters. We all deserve to feel safe, including our Somali neighbors who were already facing threats that are now only intensified. And so I stand before you today to say it is time to join in with all of our sisters and our brothers to end a culture of police violence. Will you join me?
Yes.
Yes.
I cannot hear you.
Yes.
Thank you.